to say thank you so much, Father, for this evening. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the breath of life. We thank you, Father God, for Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. We thank you, Lord God, that in you we live and move and we have our being, Father. And the breath that's in our body itself is given by you, Father. It's on loan by you, Lord God. And Lord, appointed unto every man is a time to die and after that judgment. So Lord, we just thank you, Father, that our time has not yet come. And Lord, we have the chance to hear your word. We have the chance to move with your spirit. Lord, we have the chance to walk with you, Father, this day in the earth. So Lord, right now, Father God, we come before you as your people. Lord, in Jesus' name, Father, we ask you for your truth. We ask you, Lord God, that the Spirit of truth would lead and guide us into all truth. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, we do bind every lie, every demonic force, every spirit of darkness and deception, Lord God. And we pray, Father, this evening, as we would open up your word, Lord, as we would search the scriptures, Father. Lord, we, even as you spoke to the Pharisees, you say you search the scriptures looking for truth, but you're missing the point. It's me. And Lord Jesus, we ask for you this evening, Lord, not for a Bible teaching, Father, but for you, Lord Jesus, to make yourself real unto us all the more, Father, to reveal more of yourself and your heart and your word, Father, for your people and your true church this day. Lord, so we bind every demonic force and we cast it out. We call it null and void. Father, we leave every care at your feet, knowing, Lord, that you've instructed us to be anxious about nothing, Father, but in all things with prayer and supplication to make our requests known to you. And Lord, right now I acknowledge openly, Father, that there's nothing in me that is good, Father, except your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, it is to your Spirit that I yield myself right now, Father. I get out of the way, Lord God, and I invite the free flow of your Spirit in this time through your servant, Father. And Lord, we just thank you, Father, as we go forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. It is good to be back together again, yes? It is very, very good. Okay. I'm going to pick up a little bit from where I left off last time and then kind of touch on some things Chandala's been touching on and then bridge back. So I'm going to try to weave a lot of things together tonight. But just a little bit of a recap. You remember last time we talked about two systems, two kingdoms in the earth. Now I'm going to use the board over here, but we have two kingdoms. We have the kingdom of God and we have the kingdom of this world. Now ultimately what we know is that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So everything in the world, that's either Psalm 23 or Psalm 24, verse 1, says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means the whole thing that we live in right now belongs to God. So it's God's devil, it's God's world, it's God's everything, it all belongs to Him, and He's allowing the whole thing to manifest and to go on at this time, because in the process of all of this happening, the revelation of the true sons of God, the true daughters of God, is being manifest in everything that's taking place in the world this day. But you have in operation right now, you have the kingdom of God going on in the world, and then you have the world and the world system that exists here. Now the majority of what you see is the world and the world system. The majority of what we see and what we're bombarded with is the world manifesting in different ways. So we've talked about, now if you're really curious about this teaching and you want to make a note, on faithmix.com in the archives, there's a series called The World, and it goes through the economic system of the world, the political system of the world, the religious system of the world, each way that the world manifests. So it's a number of different ways, entertainment, all of this. And you start to see, spiritually, the same monster, the same body with all the different heads popping up all over the place. But it all comes from the same root. It all comes from the same spirit that's anti-Christ. that's against the Spirit of God. So we've, so even these last few weeks, this last month, what you've seen, God promised, He said, I will shake everything that can be shaken. Yes? So we're seeing right now in the world, we're seeing a shaking of the world economic system that's at enmity with the system of God. We're seeing a shaking right now taking place in the world of that which is not built on truth, that which is a lie. Now, it's actually an illusion. So when a little breath comes from God, and when God allows for that, just the house of cards starts falling. Major corporations, AAA rated insurance companies, all these things starting to fall one at a time. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Because they're not grounded on the foundation, which is Christ Jesus. God said that when the storm comes, you see which houses are built on the rock and which ones are built on the sand. So now you're seeing this happen globally. What you're seeing right now globally has been an economic nuclear bomb explode. And many, many countries right now are struggling just to keep their feet underneath them. And you will see in this time the world moving towards a cashless society. And there'll be all, you remember last, how many months ago was it that we gave this thing about if they were to try to sell a mark of the beast today, how many different ways they could sell that thing to you? Did we talk? You remember that? How many different ways? Who was paying attention that time? No, you remember. We talked about so many different ways. If you were to sell a cashless society, allegiance to the world, a chip in your hand, you could do it through so many different ways. You could do it through many human rights things, human trafficking and keeping that thing down, anti-corruption, no more bribery, no more ability to bribe someone. You know where everyone's transactions are going. So many different ways that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end thereof is the ways of death. So there's so many ways that the world will continue to manifest into a system of control and manipulation, and ultimately giving you something in the world in exchange for your free will of your soul being given over to it. So we have these two systems, whereas Jesus Christ came to set the captives free, came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And so this life that God offers, this life that God extends to His people, those that have a heart to hear and an ear to hear and a heart to understand, they see it, they receive it, and they grab hold of it and they walk with it. Those that do not love the truth, they fall for the deception, they fall for the lie. It has a form of godliness, but it denies the power thereof. So tonight, one thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through some scripture and just specifically talk about within the world, in the context of the world, the religious system of the world and how it manifests. And I'm going to show you very clearly in Scripture that if the people that actually were in these positions, if they really believed the truth of the Word, they would be different. But the fact of the matter is they do not believe the Word, and they use the Word, they use the Bible as a means of legitimizing their own spiritual allegiance to the world system that's at enmity with God. So we will show this, we will go through this in the Scripture tonight. So you have your Bibles, yes? Okay, you have your seatbelts, yes? Because we'll go on a ride. It's going to get bumpy. I'm sure I'm going to say some things that will be difficult and offensive. Please go back and read and study the Scriptures, and I'm happy to yield if I'm off. But I have yet to have a pastor challenge me on any of these things based on the Word of God. Usually they'll challenge me on this based on their denomination and their system, but never on the Word of God. So, the world and the world system. Okay. God in Revelation talks about, let's go Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17. And verse 5, it says, and upon her forehead was written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And you go to verse 18, and it says, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Now, Chandala has spent some time talking about the Vatican, talking about Catholicism, talking about this system, religious system of control, and how it's been manifest. And when we start looking at this, let's dissect how something like this can grow into something so massive where billions of people, millions of people at this day throughout the world on this very day are observing something, going about a ritual, and yet they don't stop and ask the question, why do you do what you do? Why do you continue to go about the same ritual day in and day out? Why is it that people submit to a man-made system of religious controls and never stop and ask the question, am I all right with God? Do I have relationship and connection with the Father? If not, why not? Okay. The Catholic Church and the Pope claims what's called apostolic succession. How many of you have heard that principle? Where the whole idea behind the Pope is he is a successor that goes all the way back to Peter. Right? How many Catholics or pre-Catholics do we have here? Yes? Okay, I see. Correct me if this is... But apostolic succession was the principle that was held throughout the ages for the establishment of this. So Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And so they said, okay, Peter's the first pope. And out of Peter, the line then from handing down from Peter, next one, next one, next one, next one, next one, next one, all the way up to who you have today. So each time there's an appointment of the next pope, one dies, and then they put the next one in place. Okay, let's go back and look at the scripture where Jesus talked to Peter. Yes? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? Do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Okay. This is the passage of Scripture that the entire Catholic Church claims the legitimacy of its place in the world this day. Now, let's take a look at what it is that's actually said here. Jesus, speaking to Peter, says, who do men say that I am? This is a question. Jesus wants to see, where are these people? Now, what did Jesus also say? No man can come unto the Father unless the Spirit draws him. So the Spirit of God working in the minds and the hearts of those that were following Jesus, searching for truth, opens up the mind of Peter with a revelation. What's that revelation? And Simon Peter answered, verse 16, and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Not something carnal, but that which is in the dimension of spirit has been revealed and made manifest unto you. And he said unto him, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Okay. If you study in the Greek, and you look in the Greek, he says Peter's name is Petros. Peter. You're a piece of rock. Peter is a piece of rock. And he says, upon this Petros, upon this Petra. Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, the word rock there is Petra. Big rock. So, let me put it in common English. You are little rock. You are a piece of rock. You are a little rock. And upon this big rock, I will build my church. What was the big rock? What was the massive rock? What was the rock that was cut with no hands, that came without human hands, and came down and smashed the idol? What was that rock? That rock was found right there in verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That Jesus said, upon this rock, upon the rock, upon the revelation of who Christ Jesus is, I will build my church. Now, is the church of the living God built on the little rock, who is Peter, or on the big rock, which is who Christ Jesus is? You answer me that question. Christ Jesus. The church of the living God is built upon the rock of who Christ Jesus is. And the gates of hell do not prevail against it. Do you understand and do you see how the world will go Petros? And God says Petra. God is big rock of who Christ Jesus is. The world is little rock. You know what? Peter didn't even succeed Peter. Peter did not even succeed himself, because Peter doesn't even make it the next couple of years. Peter, when the time comes, when the testing comes, when the trial in the garden comes, he falls. Cuts off the servant of the high priest's ear. Runs away. Jesus said, "If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father." And when they are standing in the praetorium with the other soldiers, or not the other soldiers, but other people around the campfire, and then they say to Peter, who gets in somehow, they say, "Wait, we know you. You were with this Jesus." He's, "I don't know the guy. I don't know this man." To the point where he calls down curses upon himself. And then when he hears the cock crow, he realizes that he had denied Christ, he had denied the Son of God, and he himself goes out and weeps bitterly, because he's in the exact same place that Judas is in. And if it was not for the Son of God coming back and restoring Peter, making special note. In fact, when they were calling for, Jesus said, "Look, go get the disciples and Peter." He had to make special note for Peter, because Peter had gone to such an extreme. Peter could not succeed himself. It was not until the day of Pentecost, where an empowering came by the Spirit of God, and in Acts chapter 2, you see that Peter had changed. Because the Spirit of God had come upon him, Peter was different. He was not the same anymore. It was the Spirit of God that made him different. It was not until then And up until then, Peter's own natural efforts fell short. He remained a little tiny rock. And until his life was truly rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ and who he was, and empowered by the Spirit of God so that he could be a living witness, like Acts chapter 1 verse 8, until that had happened, he didn't have a shot in hell. So Peter needed to be grounded into the big rock, which is Christ Jesus. Now what Peter was given was he was given keys in verse 19 of Matthew 16. He says, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. What did Peter do on Pentecost, and what did he do with Cornelius? He unlocked what the gospel was to these brothers in Christ. He unlocked it to the Jews. He unlocked it to the Gentiles. He made known the truth to the Jews. He made known the truth to the Gentiles. That was the role that Peter had. Peter fulfilled that responsibility. So when in Acts chapter 2, when they were having an issue and they were wondering what was going on, here the Spirit of God had come upon the people, and now Peter's explaining it. He says, this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. So Jesus Christ, let's flip there really quick. Acts chapter 2. And verse 22 says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved by God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves know, him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaking concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, and he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full with joy and with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of this patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and known that God hath sworn with an oath to him of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing that this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did seek corruption. This Jesus had God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he shall shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended unto the heavens, but he hath said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstools. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified both Lord and Christ. Big rock, Petra, thou hath made that this Jesus both Lord and Christ. Verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words he did testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So Peter here unlocks to the Jews the truth of the gospel, that this Jesus whom ye have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. So Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Messiah. He opens it up to them. He does it again with the centurion. He does it again with Cornelius. He opens up the truth of who Jesus Christ is. But Peter was not the rock on which God built his church. The rock on which God has built his church is upon the big rock, is Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the rock on which the true church of the living God is built upon, versus the false church. Now back to Revelation 17. The false church is called Mystery Babylon, Mother of Harlots. So the false church is, God calls it a whore. So don't get mad at me, get mad at God. But don't get mad at God, because that's a bad thing to try to ever do. So just accept the truth, embrace the truth, walk with the truth. Okay. Let me ask you a question. So since God's already calling the Mystery Babylon system, the world system, the world religious system, he calls it a whore. Okay. Let me ask you this. Why does a whore do what a whore does? We're talking the scriptures. God uses a natural example to explain a spiritual reality. Why is it in the natural that a whore does what a whore does? Oops. I hear money. There we go. A whore does what a whore does for money. There's an exchange being given. On the spiritual reality side, Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots. So the whore and all of her daughters does what she does for money. Not for God. Now remember back to what Jesus said. Luke 16 verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For Luke 16 verse 13, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard these things and they derided him. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. So, back to God and mammon. Now switch. Okay. World system is a whore. The contrast to it is you have the bride of Christ. You cannot serve both God and mammon. So the world system, the world religious system that has a form of godliness but denies the power thereof, does what it does ultimately because it loves one master and it's not God. It uses Jesus' name because by using Jesus' name, there's power in his name, there's legitimacy in his name, because there's no legitimacy in themselves. So they use his name as a means to garner people around them, but they don't point people to Jesus, they point them to themselves. I'll say it again. They don't point people to Jesus, they point them to themselves. No apostolic succession. Shall we deal with a couple more things along this line? Okay. The whole Blessed Virgin Mary, yes? Let's see what Scripture says about that. Luke chapter 11. I'm just taking you through the Scriptures. Luke chapter 11, verse 27 says, and it came to pass, as he spake these things, this is Jesus, as Jesus spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. Okay, so a woman there hearing the beautiful words, the truth of God coming out of Jesus says, Blessed is the mother that had you, right? What is Jesus' response to that? Verse 28, and he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. So they say, here's the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Jesus says, nope, more blessed is the person that hears the word of God and keeps it. So if you hear the word of God and keep it, you are more blessed than the Virgin Mary, according to Jesus Christ. Not according to me, but according to the word that he spoke while he was in the world, while he walked on this face of the earth. The same word that resonates inside the hearts of anyone that has a heart for truth. Incidentally, Mary did not stay a virgin. You know that too. Jesus had brothers and sisters. After Jesus was born, Mary had a full-on family. And I'll give you the scriptures for that. Matthew chapter 12, verse 47, John chapter 7, verse 3 through 5 shows us very clearly that Jesus had a full-on family after he was born, of brothers that didn't necessarily even believe that he was who he said he was. Luke, in fact, John chapter 7, verse 3 through 5, talking about the feast, and when Jesus was his brothers were saying, go up to the feast, go, you're going to be this big public figure, go ahead. They didn't believe in him. But Jesus had a full family. So now, you have to understand where this comes from, where this whole mother and child, Virgin Mary, child, where this actually comes from, because it's not scriptural. What it is it actually dates back to all the way to the Babylonian religious system, all the way back to Nimrod. Where Nimrod marries his mother, and they form a cult religion during that day, which mother and son, and that cult religion, back all the way back to Babylon, was manifest time and time again through the ages. So you see Isis and Ra in Egypt. You see mother and child all the way up to when it was fused, when they took the pure faith of Christ Jesus and they mixed it with pagan religion to create a palatable religious organization for the world system. Again, because people refuse to love the truth, God gives them over to powerful delusion so that they believe the lie and so are damned. And if anyone is seeking truth, they find these things. So, the Babylonian system, what it does is it took paganism and incorporated it into truth, and it leavened through the entire lump so that the faith of many, many, many were destroyed. You want another one? I'll give you another one along the same line. One time I was talking to some people in the street, and we were talking about scripture, and this guy came up and he was talking with us too, and he called me father. Now I was 22 at the time, and he called me father. So I was like, whoa, hey, hold on, wait a second. But for him, this is his background, this is his training, this is what he, the only frame of reference that he has for someone that would speak the word of God is, oh, this man must be called father. This is the title that person is supposed to have, yes? Okay, again, what did Jesus say about that? Can we look? Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Let's start at verse 1. And then spake Jesus to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Okay, so they say one thing, but they're part of something else. So don't be along the same lines. Okay, let's keep going. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works do they to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called master, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. So Jesus, to clarify and to make known the truth, says don't you dare call anyone in this world father, because you have one Father who is in heaven. Don't call any man your master, because you have one master, which is God. We have the true body of Christ here, is the priesthood of all believers. Okay. Priesthood of all believers. Versus the world system, which is built on a hierarchy, which is built on the pyramid. You have the world system, which is built on people lording it over someone else. People establishing their legitimacy over someone else. How do they do this? Okay, back to even verse 5. But their works they do to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. How do they? Okay, so what must they do? They must have something in the realm of flesh, the realm of the natural, so you can see and understand that they themselves are a holy man. Are you starting to see now all of the special shirts, all of the special robes, all of these different things, how they manifest in the end, some way so that you can realize at a glance that this man is a legitimized by the world system holy man? So God's speaking about this system, making known to people, look, this is, they emphasize these elements so that you feel like there's something. But if you see in the dimension of spirit, you realize they don't know. Jesus, when he spoke to the Pharisees in John chapter 5, he said, you have never once heard the voice of God. You've never heard his voice. Ever. In all of their scriptural studies, in all of their life dedication, they had yet to hear the voice of God even once. And yet they teach others to say, this is what God has said. So now we look to the Spirit of God to lead and guide us into all truth. Call no man father. So, but what happens if you don't call someone father in their system? If you don't call someone father, if you don't pay due respect in their system where they demand it, what happens to you? Why is it that there's special titles? All of them want to be called reverend, yes? Want to be called pastor, want to be called something. Want to be called some title that legitimizes them to now tell you what to do. The thing is that when God calls, God chooses, God picks, God selects as He desires, puts gifts in the body as He wills, and those people that walk in connection to the Spirit of God walk out that assignment according to His plan and His purpose for them. But they receive their instruction from Him. an example even there. Galatians chapter 1 verse 1, Paul an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Paul was called as an apostle to the early church by the will of Jesus Christ, not by the validation and the accreditation of man. There was no committee that selected Paul. God said, this is my servant that will do this. See, what happens when you create a divinity school? What happens when you create these systems is now you legitimize people within a system. So you get a pedophile that realizes if he can get through that system, if he can go in there, if he can get the degree, he's given a position and he's given access to everyone in the Sunday school. This is what you've seen. This is what's come to light. This has been the news of the last year. So don't think that this is a surprise. This is the world. Because the world, what is it again that the world does? John chapter 10, the world, the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So those that partake in the world system, what happens to you? You're stolen from, you're killed, you're destroyed. So those that have partaken in the world economic system in the last month, what's happened to all that they've put into it? Do they have their retirement with AIG? If you're in Singapore with AIA? No, it's gone. All that labor, all of that effort, all of that toil in the world economic system, it's now gone. Same with the religious system of the world. All that spiritual effort, all that energy that people put into the religious system of the world is wasted. That energy is harvested and used to enslave others. Whereas God intended for you to follow Him. Now you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 17 verse 3, Jesus said, now this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the one true living God, and your Son whom you sent, Jesus Christ. That's it. Life eternal is found in the knowledge and relationship with Jesus Christ. No other way. But the world system relies on you partaking in it and legitimizing a man to stand in place between you and God. No apostolic succession, no worship of the Virgin Mary, nobody that you call Father, according to Jesus. See, they're caught in a catch-22. If you want to take Jesus, he's a full 7-course meal. He's not a buffet. See, people like to treat the scriptures like a buffet. They pick a little bit here, a little bit here, a couple psalms here, and I like this 191 over here, that's very nice. And I like 117 because it's very short, so if somebody asks me, have I read my Bible today? I read Psalm 117, 3 verses quickly. But they don't take the whole Word of God. Let's take the whole Word of God and let's see if something measures up. When you find out that it doesn't, what do you do? Will you forsake your social affiliation? Will you forsake your legitimization by these organizations to go out into the wilderness where it is that Christ Jesus is? Will you walk with Him if it be just you and Him and no one else? Revelation chapter 3 verse 20, when Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Why, where's Jesus in that for that church, the church of Laodicea? Jesus for the church of Laodicea, a church that thinks itself rich, where He says your spiritual condition is really wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Where is Jesus in relationship to that church? The church caught up in materialism. Is He inside the church? Is He outside the church? Ah, I see some smiles. Jesus is outside of that church. And that's why Jesus has to say, if any man hear my voice, if any individual sitting inside of that place hears him knocking on the door and they open the door, where do you have to go if you want to be with Jesus? Is he coming in or do you have to go out? Because Jesus is not welcome in that church. Jesus is not invited into that church. Jesus is outside of that church. And so if a man will walk with the Spirit of God, you have to walk out of that church to go there and to open up your heart to be with him in the wilderness. And too many people are afraid to leave that place of comfort, afraid to leave that place of legitimization by the world. They're afraid to leave that, and so instead they exchange the truth of God for a lie. And this is what you're dealing with on a mass scale this day. No one can serve two masters. So again, what does the whore do what she does for? She does it for money. Now, what is it that the person that goes to a whore gets in exchange for their money that they throw into that system? A temporary fix for their lust and their issue. One time I was in Amsterdam, and I had some friends there, and they said, okay, Govinda, we're going to take you to see the red light district by boat. Because they had this boat and there's the canal system. So they put me on this boat and they were taking me around. And so they're driving me through and they're pointing and they say, okay, now we're in this red light district. And in Amsterdam, there's legalized prostitution. Now, the world can legalize something doesn't mean that God says it's okay. But the world has legalized this in this place. So as we're driving through this place, you see people coming and going from these establishments. People go in there to get a temporary fix for their lust and they go back. The religious system of the world is very much the same. People go and are partakers in the spiritual religious system of the world and they get a momentary fix. So rather than, Jesus said for those that would come to him, it'll be like rivers of living water flowing through you. It will just flow. You will have this constant connection where you're up, you're down, you're wherever you are. Peace I give unto you. My peace I give, not as the world gives. So you will have an internal stillness in your spirit despite the external circumstances going on in this life. You will have the flow of God coming through you 24/7 because you are in connection with the vine like John 15. You are grafted into the vine. That's God's people. Those that go to the whore system of the world, what is it that they get? They get a momentary release and they go back every week. Every week they go back. Quick fix, good feeling, doesn't last long. And that's why they press you also to come to the meeting. So many times with these systems, the press is to come, to be partakers, to get you addicted. To build up a spiritual addiction. Now, what did God say? He talked about it as spiritual fornication. He talked about it as spiritual adultery. Why? Because in the end, you have one husband who is Christ Jesus. The church of the living God is built on the rock, who is Jesus Christ. And you have one husband that you are to spiritually be loyal to. What is the first commandment that was given in the Ten Commandments? What is the first commandment? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. He said that, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other gods before me. The first thing God ever said was that when he was giving the commandments was, you will have no other God before me. But what happens is people stand up to speak in Jesus' name and they draw people unto themselves and say, I stand between you and God. I am your mediator between you and God. I am the one with the prophetic word for you. I am the one that legitimizes what God said to you. I am something that you need and you cannot get away from this. So you better come back to the meeting next week. Because if you miss the meeting, you now don't know what God's saying, because there's no possible way that God could speak to you for yourself. There's no possible way that God could give you a scripture and show you the truth, right? Without me legitimizing it. This is the way their system works. Whereas the true system of the Word of God is the priesthood of all believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, verse 9. You are a royal priesthood. This is again why Jesus said, call no man father. Why he said, call no man master. Why he said, call no man rabbi. We have the Spirit of truth that leads us and guides us into all truth. And you are brothers in Christ Jesus, all on the same level with one high priest who is Christ Jesus. No man lords it over you. And you are given different responsibilities in the body of Christ. And every responsibility is as important as everything else. Because if your body doesn't work together, you're in trouble. And we need one another. Is this starting to make sense to you? So, yes, I can see some light bulbs going off with this one. Okay. So, we have the whore, and we have the whore system. We know why it does what it does. It's a system also built on hierarchy, on control, and free will submission to a slave system. So, they must get you to willingly submit your free will to be a part of that system, to be a slave to the system of the world, the religious system of the world. You must give your free will to be part of that and to be a slave. So, you are pressed and you are pressured into it. Now, the whore has daughters. Mystery Babylon, mother of harlots. Chandala's talked about 30,000 denominations now exist in the world. Plus, growing every day. In relationship to denominations, the very nature of a denomination is division. Even in the name, you have division. Even in the name, you say what's said is, we are a breakaway, we are something over here. But what happens is, the mother reproduces after her kind. And the daughters exemplify the same characteristics as the mother. Same system, repeated again on a smaller scale. I had one pastor one time, he was talking to me about his denomination. And he said, brother, this is the head of the denomination in this country. Backroom conversation, he's saying to me, brother, he said, this denomination, he said, it's like Noah's Ark. He said, it stinks on the inside, but it's the best thing afloat. This is his admonition to me about his denomination. And it took me some time, it took me a couple years for me to finally understand what he was telling me was that he and everything that he was a part of was full of crap. That was all that was inside of there. And he willingly knows this and yet he keeps it like this. They know what's on the inside, and yet at the end, what did Jesus say about those that stand in the place of those that stand in this position? They do it to be seen of men. I've also had this one said to me too, number of times. Brother, you need to come under the covering of the denomination. You need to come under this covering. Have you ever heard this? Sriyan, have you heard this one? You've been asked to come under the covering. Yes? Sometimes what happens is with these pastors too, they've told me within these denominations, look brother, we appreciate your zeal for the Lord. We appreciate all of these things. You know what you really need to do? You need to come and to come under this covering of this denomination. Right? Okay, I like to search the scriptures and to find out where does this come from? Ezekiel 28. In relationship to the denominations, Ezekiel 28 and verse 13, speaking of Lucifer, says, "Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, and sardis and topaz, and the diamond and beryl and onyx and the jasper and sapphires and emeralds and the carnivals, and the gold and workmanship of thy tabernets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire." The Lucifer is the anointed cherub that covereth. So the covering is nothing but a cover-up. And the system and the religious system of the world, how it works is the same as the economic system of the world, the same as the political system of the world, the same as every other system of the world. You come in, you become part of it, and in exchange for your soul, that which you do is now covered up and covered over by that system. Let me show it to you again. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 1 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, thou take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, and they that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." Egypt is a type of the world. Pharaoh is a type of human personality and leader within the world and the system of the world. So they add sin to sin. There is a covering, but it's not the Spirit of God. And they go down into Egypt and they look to human personalities that stand there in the place of God. And God is not anywhere in the equation except to be used as a means to legitimize their system, but not to serve and to walk with the Spirit of God. The very nature of denominations is division. The early church, what was the early church? When people, let's look at the scriptures back. Acts, the book of Acts talks about the early church. You had the church at Antioch. You had the church in Jerusalem. You had the church in Rome. You had the church in Corinth. You had the church. The church was just purely given by a location wherever they were. So we would be the Church of Colombo. This is us. Because all it was, the church, wherever you went, you met brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus that walked in the Spirit of God. And so wherever it was that you went, you were now part of that fellowship of believers just by a location. Because you were the church. It was not something that you did on Sunday. It was who you were 24/7. So they met in the marketplaces. They met in homes. They met in the streets. They talked the Word of God freely and openly. It was who you were, not something that you did. And the true Church of the Living God is the same this day. So you have true followers of Christ that are waking up inside the denominational systems. You have true followers of Christ that are waking up within the religious systems of the world, all of them. All religions in the world are the same. I'm just speaking today about that which claims Christ Jesus but does not serve Him, does not walk with Him, uses His name to legitimize themselves, because they are one of the most dangerous forms to true followers of Christ Jesus. So I'm giving you this day truth so that you can now walk with confidence knowing the Spirit of God and what it is that He speaks to you. What we are this day, how does it work for us then? 1 Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "But ye also are lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Down to verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So you are the priesthood of all believers. You are someone who walks with the Spirit of God. You are someone who knows His voice and you follow His voice. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, some to be teachers. I've heard this one taught before, but I've also heard it taught incorrectly. Because in the system of God, inside your body, I have some toes. Inside my body, I have some fingers. Inside my body, I have some kidneys. I have a couple kidneys in there. I have a liver in there. I have all kinds of things in there. God is specifically speaking in Ephesians chapter 4 of specific responsibility for some people within the body of Christ, but not as a means of lording over other people. But just to clarify that specific assignment so people can understand that this is their responsibility as a system of God within the body. So like in your body, you have a nervous system. You have a skeletal system. You have a respiratory system. You have a circulatory system. You have different systems in your body that end up making up the entire body. All of it works together as one. But none of it is more important than the other. All of it is necessary for the functioning of the body. So in Ephesians chapter 4, something that has been mistaught and shown to be a means of legitimizing rulership and lordship over other people, now you know. Jesus said, "Those that exalt themselves will be humbled. Those that humble themselves will be exalted." And even in Ephesians chapter 4, where it says God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teacher, pastors forth. Pastor is forth. I'm glad God didn't put it fifth, because if He put it fifth, they would say, okay, God said the last shall be first and the first shall be last, so now the pastor is number one. So I'm glad He didn't put it fifth. I'm glad He put it fourth and mixed up the order, because now, today, the church, the denominational church, is a pastor-run system, and the reason it's run is because the pastor, like Judas, has control of the money bag. And just like Judas, he helps himself to whatever's put in there. And just like Judas, he incurs the same problem that Judas will face. And if he does not have an experience like Peter, where God restores and opens his eyes, and he's willing to yield to the Spirit of God, and to repent, and to get right with God, he will experience the same fate. Where when Jesus, speaking of Judas, said, "It would be far better if you were never born." So God's not playing. People play church, people play religion, but God does not play with His truth. God does not play with His words. Jesus, every word He spoke while He was in the earth was true and to the point, and men choose not to take His word. They would rather go with that which is comfortable, that which serves their delusion. Jesus, you know, I think there's something inbuilt into fallen humanity, fallen man, where man himself wants to be ruled by another man. Either he wants to rule or to be ruled. It's very hard for a person just to walk with the Spirit of God. Even like in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 7, where God, even speaking to Samuel, says that they will not have me rule them as their king. They want to have a man rule them just like the nations around them. But they would not receive the lordship of God. To this day, people are looking for human personalities for saviors. And this is why even Jesus, speaking in Matthew 24, said, "Watch out, many will come in my name. Many will show up as saying, claiming to be a Messiah, claiming to be a Savior, claiming to be the person with the solution and the answer to your problem." And Jesus warned us about this day. How many people are standing up around the world this day saying they have the solution to the world's problems? If you will just give them your allegiance, and you give them your loyalty, and you bow down to them, and let them be your king. We are the priesthood of all believers. We need no covering. What did Jesus say? Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14. Jesus said, actually verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if salt have lost its savor, wherewithal shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." We don't need a covering. You stand firm in the truth and the lordship of Jesus Christ. You are built as a spiritual, on the spiritual foundation and the rock, the Petra of who Christ Jesus is. That is what your life is grounded in. Your life is not covered by any man. You have no one that stands between you and God. And you let your light shine, and let that light burn bright in the world. When the veil of the temple was rent in two, see, the veil, the curse of the law was that you needed a man to get to God. The curse of the law was we had to have somebody, the Jewish nation had to have someone going every year, year after year after year, and a person make, go and sprinkle blood, all of that ritual. You needed a man to help you get to God. When Jesus was on the cross, and when He cried out, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. Split in two. It was so thick, no human hand. This is not a little curtain. God, with His own hand, when Jesus Christ cried out, "It is finished," and He took upon Himself the sins of the whole world, the veil of the temple was rent in two from top to bottom, and the Holy of Holies was opened up for man to now be able to see directly in. Because in the realm of the Spirit, God used a natural example to show a spiritual reality. In the realm of the Spirit, there was no more separation between you and God. There was no more separation between us and the Father. There was no need now for a man to get to God, because you now had one high priest, who is Christ Jesus, who sprinkled His own blood upon the altar, and He made restoration. That's why when you come into Christ Jesus, and in Him you live and move and have your being, now you have direct connection to the Father, and no man stands between you and God. You are part now of the priesthood of all believers. No one lords it over you. You can choose of your free will to put yourself in slavery. But just like in Galatians, when Paul wrote to the early church, he said, "Who has bewitched you? Who is taking away what you now have in God? Who is putting you back into bondage?" And he was writing to the early church. Even like Jude was warning the early church, saying, "Men have crept in unawares." Jude chapter 1 verse 4 says, "Certain men crept in unawares." People have constantly been trying to steer the people of God into another path of deception, time and time and time again. But know this, you know the Spirit of God, because Christ Jesus has made that way for you. Your life is rooted and grounded in Him. No man stands between you and God. Walk out your life in boldness and in confidence that God has made that way for you. Listen to the voice of His Spirit, because Jesus said in John chapter 10, "My sheep know My voice, and they won't follow another." And with that, my time is up, so I will stop there.